You. We welcome you this time of Christmas. It's a wonderful time. I think almost everyone enjoys it. We've been, for Advent, our series has been called Present, because we like to give presents at Christmas, and we like to receive presents. But we play on the word because what we mean is that God is present with us. Today's title is called Gift Exchange. How many do that at Christmas? You give gifts to people, you receive gifts. And I'm not talking about returning them to the store. And I'm not talking about re-gifting. I just mean we give gifts, we receive gifts. And isn't it funny when someone you're not expecting gives you a gift and you're happy, but you also feel a little embarrassed. Why? Because you didn't have a gift for them, right? Because we're used to giving and receiving. And that's what we're talking about today. And it comes out of our text, out of Titus. We're looking at the passage, Titus 2, verses 11 through 15. Our verse for today is verse 14. Tonight we'll look briefly at verse 15. That which we'll talk about what it means to share, like, and that means social media, okay? But what do we have? God gives us his presence for us is his son Jesus. We just sang the song, Emmanuel. They read it in the reading. Emmanuel, what is Emmanuel? God gives us, he gives us his son, Emmanuel. And what's Emmanuel mean? God with us. And so God gives us himself. He gives us his own presence. And so if God gives us himself, and we're used to giving and receiving, and we reciprocate, what do we give God? We give ourselves back to him, right? That's what we do. And look at, this is the verse 14 out of Titus 2. Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Out of Malachi, he said, I will make you a treasured possession. You'll be my people. Out of Revelation, you'll be a kingdom of priests to God. You'll be a special people. You'll belong to Christ. Christ is coming back to take his people. You have to belong to Christ for him to take you back. But there's something special about this people, he says. A people for his very own who are what? Zealous for good deeds. Zealous for good deeds. God wants us to give ourselves to him and give ourselves to his will and do the things that please him. So you could say the gift exchange is what some people have called the exchanged life. Christ gave his life for us so that the lives we live, we will live for him. And that's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He said, he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Everybody's living for themselves. But he says, no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. Now, let's look at the whole passage from Titus, those five verses. And I want you to read with me. So I'll read the first verse in the italics, and then you read the next verse, and it's not in italics. And I'll repeat it so that it goes into the microphone and people can hear it or not hear. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And the verse for today, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And then the verse for tonight, these things Speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Let me ask you, does God want people to do good works? Sure about that? Because sometimes people give an indistinct answer. Does God want us to keep his law? Does God want us to break his law? No. He wants us to keep his law. Does he want us to do bad works? No. He wants us to do good works. And so when someone tells you, when you talk about religion, they say, God wants us to do good works. Agree with them. God wants us to do good works. When people talk about keeping the law, agree with them. God wants us to keep the law. But the question is, how? The question is how? Because you see, how many in this room have actually broken God's law a few times? Okay? How many have actually done some bad works or said some bad things or thought some bad thoughts? Okay? And so you see, it's not, no one disagrees that God wants us to do good things and to keep his law. The problem is we've all done bad things. We've all broken it. And that's where the paths divide about religion and morality. And what the Bible teaches us, and it's in this very passage, is how God gets people like us who have broken the law and are sinful to actually do what he wants. And that's what we're going to talk about here. And so, yeah, we read it. He wants us to do good deeds. He wants us to be zealous. He wants to deliver us from lawlessness. Does he want us to keep his law? Yes. Does he want us to be lawless? No. He wants to deliver us from that so that we're actually zealous. It comes from within us. We're compelled to do good works. That's what God's method is. But how do you do this? Well, you ever heard of this? There's the carrot and the stick, right? What's the carrot? To entice someone. The donkey wants to eat the carrot. And the stick? I used to see, I was in Egypt, and when I was there, I never saw any carrots, but I saw a lot of sticks being used on donkeys. And they actually hit them in the head, which they didn't give them a lot of respect. But that's what most religious systems are made of. They think there's the carrot and there's the stick. And some people think Christianity is about that, but it isn't about that at all. And so this is where the paths split. Carrots and stick work fine for donkeys, but what does God tell us? In Psalm 32, he says, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. He didn't make us animals. He made us in his image. He's given us a mind and will and emotions. He wants us to follow him out of what he's made us, and that is human beings, not like animals. Okay, let me use an illustration. I often use this. I left my wallet over here. But I use this when I share the gospel, and I use it when I talk to some of my people that are unfamiliar with the gospel. If I can find my wallet. I found it. Okay. And so, I'm a social person. I like friends, so I'm going to use Adam as an example. Adam, will you be my friend if I give you $5?
Sure.
You know, some people hold out for more. But here you go. Here you go. Here's the $5. Thank you. Well, this is my son here. Ralph, will you be my friend for $20? Okay. And I want you guys to tell everybody what a great guy I am, how much you like me, and I'm just the best fella, right? Can you tell? Okay. Okay, do they love me? Do they like me?
No.
What do they like?
Money. What?
Give it back. That didn't work. Wow, you can't buy love. Oops. You can't buy love. So I have a different plan. I know what I'm going to do. I'll reach in here. This is my fake gun. Okay. Do you love me? You think I'm a good guy? You think I'm my friend? You think, am I a good guy? Do you like me? Okay, do they love me? Do they love me? What do they love? They love their life. Can you buy love? No, we call that something else. We try to buy love. Can you force love? No. What has to be true of love? He has to be given, and he has free choice. I could be friendly to him, and he says, no, he doesn't want to be my friend. Or maybe I'm not friendly to him, but he's such a friendly person and such a loving person. He loves me in spite of myself. But love and friendship is something that people give freely. That's how God made people. He didn't make people like animals with instinct. He made us with the power of choice. And love is the highest choice. And so that's what God wants from human beings. He wants people who are zealous and eager to please him. Zealous and eager to keep his law, not to break it. To do the things he wants and not to not do those things. So the carrot and stick do not work. The reason they don't work is because they're essentially sinful. The motivation is sinful because sin is thinking of the creature rather than the creator. It's thinking about self and motivating, being motivated by the self instead of being motivated for the sake of God. So they fail. Every system that does that fails. And when people have a legalistic view of Christianity, that also fails. We cannot be self-centered, wanting to indulge ourselves and take the things that God said. Oh, if I say God's good, he'll give me stuff. If I pray to God, he'll give me lots of goodies. I'm not concerned about God. I'm being self-indulgent. Or I'm afraid of God. I'll just follow God so he doesn't hurt me. Again, that's self-centered. It's self-protection. What God wants is people who please him because they love him and they are grateful to him. Well, we said everybody agrees God wants good works and he wants people to keep the law and not break the law and not to do bad works. But how does that happen? Well, let's start trying to keep the law. That's what we'll do. We'll start trying to keep the law. How will that work? This is what happens. Paul, we had studied through the book of Romans, but just to remind ourselves, and for those that are just visiting, will we keep the law? No. No one, Paul tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And here's another one out of chapter 7. The law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. But there's the problem. What's the problem? The problem is me. The problem is us. The law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I'm sold as a slave to sin. I'm broken. I don't work the way I was made to work. Think of a machine. Think of a machine. I believe these are robots, right? Robot arms, and they're doing some kind of function. Can you see? I think they're welding, right? On a car body. Can you see the picture? Okay, so they're robots welding on, doing spot welding on a car body. I don't know which kind of car it is. Maybe it's your kind of car. But machines were built to work, and they work well. They do good work. But they don't if they're broken, right? They work well. And do they get tired doing it? Do they complain at the end of the day? Do machines toil? Toil means tiresome labor. No, they don't toil. In fact, angels don't toil. And even animals don't toil. Who toils? We toil. When did that happen? It happened only after sin. It's part of the curse. After man fell, he said, you will do toilsome work. You will work by the sweat of your brow just to stay alive. That's part of the curse. Why? It's to tell us something. It's to tell us we're broken. And so working for us is very difficult. It should be natural. It should be natural. Keeping the law of God should be natural. Why would we want to break the law of God? We love the law of God. Why would we want to break it? Doing good work should be natural. Why would we want to do anything bad? Because we're broken machines. The reason for Christmas is because we are broken machines. He wants us to know it so we can say, God, I'm broken. I don't do the stuff I'm supposed to do. Something's wrong with me. I need to be fixed. How do you get sinners to do what's right? How do you get broken people to do what's right? That's what Christmas is about. God sent us a Savior. You will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Another verse from Romans. Tell you what, I'll read verse 3, you read verse 4. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son. Verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So God provides a gift. He changes us from the inside. He makes us new with his Spirit. And this is confirmed by a beautiful passage out of Hebrews 8, quoting Jeremiah. I'll read verse 8, you read verse 9. But God found fault with the people and said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. What was the old covenant that he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt? Who did he make that with? Moses. And how were they written?
On stone tablets.
How did that work? It didn't work very well. In fact, the law was correct. The problem was it was outside of them. It didn't work. They needed the law written on the inside, stamped on their nature, and our natures need to be changed. That's what he said. That's what Christmas is about. God giving giving us himself, Christ coming, fulfilling the law for us, making it possible that our sins could be forgiven, making it possible that God could actually declare us righteous even though we've broken the law, because the law makes a provision for a substitute. And then giving us his Spirit so that we're changed on the inside. You see, God is going to make us brand new. He makes us brand new, but he does it in two stages. He motivates us. He gives us hope. People cannot live without hope. People cannot live in hopelessness and despair. He makes us grateful because he poured out his grace to us, and gratitude is the proper response to grace. And love, the proper response to love is to reciprocate with love. And so we begin to follow God. Our hearts begin to change as we grow in hope and gratitude and love. And there's two stages that God does this remake. He makes us into new creatures. He does it first on the inside and you can't see it. You could call it the heart, you could call it the spirit. And then he makes the body later. When does that happen? When Christ comes back. Has he given us new bodies now? No, they're not new, believe me. And some of you have proof in your own body that this body is breaking down and wearing out. But we do have the promise that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. He gives us his spirit. He puts his life right inside of us. And remember I said, machines don't labor, they don't toil. They're made to work and they love to work. I remember when I first drove and we had family in Boyne City. We drove from Flint to Boyne City, like 240 miles. And if we didn't make it in 3 hours, my dad was mad. If you didn't drive 80 miles an hour, he'd say, stop and let someone drive who will drive. And we had, at that time, an old police car. It was a Plymouth Fury with a 440 in it. And around town, you had to put your foot on the brake because it idled so fast, just to go around town. And you get out about 50, and it go blub, 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 blub. You get out about 50, go blub, 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 blub. You get up 80, it goes. It loved to run 80 miles an hour. It just was purring. It was a machine that was made to run. Was it laboring? Was it going, no, it was going. And I don't know how many times I'd be driving home from work in that car, and it's like, I'm doing 85. I better slow down. They're made to work. They don't toil. That's what they're produced. That's what they're designed to do. And trees. I got to make this apple. Oh, this is so hard. Oh, another one. I got to make another apple. No. Trees, they don't work. They produce fruit. It comes out of their life. But we labor because it's unnatural to us. And he says, I will make it so that it becomes natural to you. Grace, we read earlier that grace, the same grace that brings salvation to all men, teaches us to say no to godlessness or ungodliness and to worldly passions. And it teaches us to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age. So grace teaches us. And God wants grace to reign in us, even as the way sin reigned in us before. Romans 5:21. Just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring about eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he tells us how to do this in Romans 6. He says, Christ died once. You consider yourself to be dead with him. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its evil desires. Now, I have a small car, thanks to one of our people here, and I like that car. But the other day when we had that big snowstorm and my front tires are a little bit bald, and I thought, I know how to drive. This is front-wheel drive. I used to drive the old rear-wheel drive when you really did snow, you know, donuts. I can do this. And so I was coming around this corner, and I didn't make the corner. I just slid into the opposite curb. Thank God there was no car there, no people there. I just bounced off the curb, wasn't going that fast. But it didn't work. This bald tires didn't work. And so I went and got snow tires. I have four snow tires. And someone said, it's too light. Put some weight in the back. So I bought 4 bags of sand at Ace Hardware. 4 50-pound bags of sand and put it in my trunk. That thing, you would think it was four-wheel drive. It works so nice. And so, what do we do? That's not the car, but what do we do? Do we learn better techniques for driving a faulty vehicle? Or do we fix the vehicle? But most religion is saying, I know you're broken, but if you do this and you do that and you tweak it this way and you adjust your technique, you can kind of cope with this. God doesn't want us to cope. God wants to make us new. And that's what Christmas is about. That's why Christ came. What is the gift exchange? Christ gave his life for us so that we would live for him. And that's what we want to do. Let's read together the passage one more time. This is a little different translation. Okay? Titus 2:11. I'll read 11, you read 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. 12. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. God has given us his present. Are you embarrassed? Have you nothing to give back to him? What's the present that he wants? He wants you to give yourselves to him, to live for him. Let's pray. And we're going to sing, so we're not done. But the worship team will come up, but let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you for giving us just what we need, a Savior and the Holy Spirit to make us new on the inside. Lord, you don't want us to be self-centered and just to try to keep the law so we can get the carrots and avoid the stick. You actually want us to love you because you have loved us. And the proper thing to do is to give love back. So, Lord, help us to love you. Even as it said, we love because you first loved us. You've been so gracious to us. Help us be filled with gratitude. You've given us great promises. Fill us with hope and enable us, Lord, to live out according to your word the new life that you put in us, those who have trusted Christ. And help us to stop being conformed to the world, but be transformed as we renew our minds, as we're trained by grace to say no to those things of godlessness and worldly passions, and to live sensibly, with self-control, righteously, and godly while we wait for Christ to come back. Thank you for this. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for families and all the love that you've given us on earth. And help us to love one another, and most of all, to love you. We ask in Jesus' name for his sake. And all God's people said, amen.